It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins, thank you for being here. Okay, let's start with the border crisis. It's been going on for years now.
The border's closed.
It's secure, too. Tight as a drum.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
Yeah.
At least they're not saying that part anymore.
Well, depends on who you ask and what day.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah.
So we've got this huge surge happening. I mean, Eagle Pass, as we talked about yesterday, saw a single day crossing record with 4,000 people crossing the border that we know of. You're talking about overflow capacity at shelters, people just having to be released onto the streets because they got nowhere to put them.
Dude, I mean, obviously, it's all coordinated. I mean, it's hundreds. I mean, and then you get to thousands. And they get across and they're saying, thank you, Biden. Did you hear about the people that get on their knees? They're like, thanking Biden. He opened the border for us.
Right.
Because everyone around the world knows it.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting that the Today Show actually covered the border crisis. They do it occasionally. They seem to be doing it more because it's affecting them in New York City.
Correct.
And apparently Biden's plan, as part of their coverage laid out, is to let hundreds of thousands of people who came in and have specious claims for asylum.
Come on.
Let them legally work in the United States for a year and a half, and they're safe from deportation.
Yeah. Okay, roll that.
And meanwhile, big story, especially here in New York, the Biden administration has decided to implement some new rules for hundreds of thousands of migrants. We've seen these record border crossings. We see it coming now to the northeastern cities, getting a lot of complaints from mayors like Mayor Adams here in New York to the White House. So walk us through what's happened here.
And the Biden administration announcing overnight new rules allowing hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan migrants who have arrived in the country before July 31st to live and work here legally for 18 months and temporarily protect them from deportation. That follows pressure from New York officials for them to be able to work and move them off of social services, which has also been overwhelmed.
Okay, wait a second. I thought we had millions of people in America, American citizens, that are impoverished. No opportunities. No jobs. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we hear all the time?
That's what we hear.
That is true to a certain extent, yes.
Aren't you taking jobs away from those people?
Of course you are.
But no liberal wants to ever bring that up? Can they not think? I mean, dude, we all know what this is about.
Sure. It's about votes.
That's certainly part of it.
Yeah.
And for years and years and years, a lot of businesses, big corporations, they love the illegal immigration.
Oh, yeah, it's cheap labor.
Absolutely. And you always have the threat of throwing you back out of the country. Shush, shush.
You know, I think it's funny that they're going to go ahead and do this so they can get back to work and get off the welfare rolls.
Yeah.
You're in New York City. What job are you going to do that's going to get you a one-bedroom crap hole apartment even for the money you're making?
It's a great question.
It's not. That's garbage. That's a garbage take, and it's not true.
But meanwhile, the governor of New York is saying, park's closed. Got to go somewhere else. We're full.
Well, I thought this was remarkable on CNN. New York Governor Kathy Hochul openly embraced her inner white supremacist talking about the illegal immigration crisis.
We have to let the word out that when you come to New York, we're not going to have more hotel rooms. We don't have capacity. So we have to also message properly that we're at our limit. If you're going to leave your country, go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah, somebody else's problem.
The Statue of Liberty is weeping right now. You know, my four-year-old daughter, baby Chuck, looked up at me after she heard that and said, "Daddy, is this really America still?" And she wept. We both held each other and cried late into the night.
You know, I like that, too, when she says we got to get the message out. You got the message out. The message was sanctuary states, sanctuary cities. You got the message out. They heard it.
It doesn't matter. The federal government wants more people to come in.
Jeez.
The current federal government wants people to come in.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so frustrating.
What are they going to do at the end of a year and a half, by the way?
They stay.
Of course.
But that's just that year and a half.
What's
just a
temporary,
get the questions away.
It's nothing temporary here. No.
And honestly, it's the middle class that's getting absolutely railed. Of course, the left doesn't care about that either. They just want cheap labor more than anything else. But more on that later, because there's some insight as to who actually benefits from illegal immigration. Okay. I did notice this from the Today Show, because it seemed like a big news day yesterday, especially with Attorney General Merrick Garland taking the stand and having to answer questions about the investigation into Hunter Biden, along with so many other things. Like the statute of limitations just running out on the tax charge that certainly should have been there with Hunter Biden, that goes all the way back to 2014 and 2015 when he was getting money from Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. And they just let it roll out.
Yeah.
There's nothing. No coverage. Saw none on Good Morning America. No. None on NBC. Are you surprised?
I think the only thing I saw this morning was the Republicans pouncing again.
On Garland?
On Merrick Garland.
Did they actually have it somewhere in the coverage?
I saw it somewhere. I go to so many different sources in the morning, I don't remember which one. It was somewhere, but it was all about the Republicans attacking.
And the Republicans want to shut down the government.
Right.
They don't want to play ball.
And they hate Merrick Garland, that poor old man. Just
blah, 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 blah.
Shaky McShakerson.
And, you know, I think to some of the questions that were asked yesterday, you know, being asked about the statute of limitations to expire, and he just kept going back to the same thing again and again and again, which makes no sense. Some people think he actually perjured himself yesterday, but...
Are you aware the statutes of limitations have been allowed to expire while the matter was under investigation?
The investigators were fully familiar with all the relevant law.
I'm not asking for the excuses. I'm asking whether you're aware of that fact, sir.
I'm going to say again and again if necessary. I did not interfere with, did not investigate, did not...
See, those are statements in response to other questions. Everybody in the country now knows, who's paying attention to this, that the Justice Department permitted statutes of limitations to expire. Every lawyer who's ever practiced understands the implications of allowing statutes of limitations to expire.
Prosecutor,
do you not even know as you sit here whether that occurred or not?
Prosecutors make appropriate determinations on their own. In this case, I left it to Mr. Weiss whether to bring charges or not. That would include whether to let statute of limitations expire.
And I know this gets deep in the weeds with David Weiss, and now he's the special prosecutor. It goes back and forth. In the end, I think what we talked about months ago, probably nothing's going to happen because the Bidens are protected. However, there is more and more information coming out all the time. And you do have the whistleblowers. That helps. And the House Republicans doing their investigation. You get the feeling that more of the American people know what's going on.
You do know who appointed David Weiss, right?
Trump.
I heard that about a billion times.
Well, yesterday. Garland said it.
Exactly.
Appointed my President Trump.
Just to let you know.
It's just a weasel.
Oh, gosh. It was Garland. Awful. And you scream at the TV.
You do,
because
man.
There's no answer. It's like he's answering a question that wasn't asked, and that was brought up right there.
Yes.
I mean, I asked this question. You're answering something completely different. I don't know what else you can do.
No. I know it sounds crazy to some people, but I can't help it. And I admitted yesterday, maybe it's from watching too many gangster shows through my lifetime, but you just want someone to say, I don't think you heard the question, okay? You know, and then appropriate action takes place, so the guy starts talking.
Yeah.
You know, in your fantasy world, that's what you want to see. I know we have a system. I don't need to be educated on that. I'm just talking about regular dudes saying, you know what? They should dog collar that guy and shock him until he starts talking. Who wouldn't pay to see that? David's uncomfortable, I can tell.
I'd pay to see you do that again.
I'll do it for free. Little weasel. He is. He's disgusting.
He is.
Sorry excuse for a man.
No, it is. Right. I agree.
All right. More on that a little bit later. David, you have a piece of audio to play for us.
Yeah, I do. And I think this is going to blow your mind a little bit.
Oh.
Someone on YouTube called Florian Poprot has been posting AI-generated cover songs using voices of dead singers to cover different songs. And it is surprisingly good. It is creepy how good this is. Here is Freddie Mercury singing a cover of System of a Down's Toxicity.
Oh, no.
Why are you saying, oh, no? You're a big fan of Freddie Mercury.
I am.
You're not a big fan of System of a Down.
No, I'm not.
You don't like the song Toxicity?
I don't even know.
Well, maybe you'll like it now.
The toxicity of our city, of our city. Now, what if all the world had it all disordered?
Time out. Scott, would you admit this? That what we just heard was better than that last Queen unreleased track.
Well, I'm not going to argue that.
Okay,
no,
all right.
I'm a Queen fan, big Queen fan. That sounded exactly like Freddie Mercury.
That, yes.
Exactly like Freddie Mercury.
Somewhere between the sacred silence and sleep.
I got to tell you, man. What's going through my head is, I can't even talk. Half of me feels like, man, that's really cool. The other half is terrified.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That AI can come that close. That's spot on, man.
Holy cow, man.
Wow.
We need to get out in front of this. This needs...
Yes.
There needs to be something, restrictions or something put on this nonsense.
Can anyone AI Merrick Garland with a dog collar and me shock it?
Oh, sure. If you ask,
can we do that?
Yeah.
That'd be good. All right. Disney, going less woke? Is this a thing? Get to that in the news update coming up. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Well, this is kind of a 180 for Disney, it seems, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. So Walt Disney CEO Bob Iger told investors this week that the company will, quote, quiet the noise in the culture war stuff that's been going on. So he gave this brief statement during an investor's presentation in Orlando, and he also announced that Disney is going to be doubling its investment in theme parks and cruise ships over the next decade, partially because that's their biggest moneymaker, and they've been losing a ton of money. They're talking about selling off their television projects or products, I mean, like ESPN.
ABC.
What about Disney Plus? That thing's lost. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's $11 billion.
Yeah, nobody really knows what the future of the streaming platforms in general will be in Disney Plus. Maybe they'll get rid of it. I have no idea. But certainly their theme parks and cruises, that's where they make the most amount of money. And so they're noticing that people are getting more and more ticked off over the so-called culture war issues.
Well, you have a bunch of people working for them that are pushing it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. It wasn't come out of thin air. I mean, this is internally what's going on.
Well, dude, all the audio got leaked, and then people knew it was real. They had the production coordinator, Alan March, talking about pushing queer content for kids, stuff like that. Parents not really expecting that from Disney. So, it hurt them bad.
You and I were talking before the show. Where's this worked? Where's this woke thing worked? I mean, if you had some kind of blueprint that went, hey, if we go woke, our business will increase 10%.
I don't think that's what it's about.
If it's about ESG, then isn't Disney afraid then?
The way I would understand it, tell me if I'm wrong, David, is you have a lot of people working for companies that will put all of the woke stuff into the company more for themselves, because the Black Rocks of the world control everything because they have the money and they're big on the ESG stuff. Okay? So even if you are the CEO of a company, and that company goes down because you implemented a lot of crap, that CEO is going to get another gig easy. because they're in the good graces of the actual powers that be that have all the money.
Yeah,
part of it.
Yeah, I think there's actually a confluence of two things. One is, you know, when you're talking about ESG, that's like the social credit score for a business, for a corporation.
Yes.
That left-wing ideologues at investment firms like BlackRock and State Street, et cetera, Vanguard,
yeah.
Will actually make sure that more money gets directed to you if you have a higher score. And so I think you're actually starting to see a backlash to this among investors, among the actual people who have a stake in the company, because that initial influx of cash was like chasing a cheap high. They realize that if we don't have a product to sell, we don't have a company. And it doesn't matter if we keep borrowing money and getting flush with cash in the short run if our long-term business prospects go away. And I think they're starting to realize that. But the hard part about this now and stepping away from this, the problem for the Bob Igers of the world, is that there are hundreds of people who now work for your company who aren't interested in an ESG score. They don't care. They are ideologically driven, a lot of times fresh out of graduate school or whatever, PR professionals, folks in the production area of the company, et cetera. Again, they don't care. They think that they are on a mission of social justice. They are true believers.
That's their religion. They're going to push it.
Yeah.
That's basically their purpose in life, just like the marketing exec at Bud Light.
Yes.
That pushed that campaign that destroyed the brand.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
You know, so thinking about this, the whole thing with the kids, especially, you said so many times, stay away from the kids.
Leave them alone.
It's creepy. There has been a piece of audio and video that's come out from Oprah's show in 1986 that has creeped some people out.
86?
Yes. Okay. So this is where the story starts. There is actually a new Apple TV Plus series called The Supermodels. And part of that is Cindy Crawford. And they go back to when she started her career. She was on Oprah in 1986. And Cindy Crawford has said, you know, when this happened, I didn't recognize it. Only when I look back at it, I was like, oh my gosh, that was not okay. It's really creepy. Because Oprah says, stand up and show off your body.
Oh God. Oh geez.
Listen to this. You tell me. Roll it.
Did she always have this body? This is unbelievable.
Was she 19 at the time? 20? Yeah.
Stand up just a moment, because no one saw you come in standing up. Now, this is what I call a body. Very good, very good.
But I'm not, I don't weigh 100 pounds. I'll tell that lady on the phone that I do not weigh 100 pounds.
Are you about 5'9", 5'10"?
5'9", and I try to stay around 120.
Okay.
So.
I'm happy for you.
Stand up, show off your body. Man, that wouldn't happen today. Well, part of it would be, what about the overweight people? That's a form of fat shaming. Because her body is better than those. You'd hear those yappers.
Of course.
It is funny that if that's a man in 1986 doing that, and he's still around now, he's canceled. It's done.
He's gone.
100%, man.
Yep.
No doubt about it. All right, much to get to. Okay, David has a story for What's Your Story about men competing against women. He says it's a must-hear clip. I can't wait. Coming up. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right. This is crazy with everything going on at the border. Again, well, it's really never stopped. It's just there's more surges at times than others. Certainly a big one yesterday. And then I see this story as a follow-up, Daily Wire, about this Colony Ridge, what would you call it? This whole area north of Houston, David.
Yeah, it's a shanty town, and what it is there's a large land developer who sells property to people here illegally, and I mean it is riddled with crime. It's kind of a no-go zone because it's basically operating as its own country now. And the way he gets around certain federal lending laws is that he's the one who provides the financing for people who buy property. So he, you know, charges him whatever, 15% interest, and essentially keeps the payments low enough that they can make the payments, but high enough that they can never really sell out. You know, they can't really get any return on the investment.
And I know, just to go back to something you said a second ago, this shanty town that's existing right now, if most people in America knew that, they would be freaked out. Like, that's happening in the United States?
Yeah. And aside from it being a way station or staging area for cartels running guns, humans, and drugs, I mean, if you really care about people coming into this country, migrants, a lot of them are being taken advantage of in a huge way by this, because, again, they're taking out loans on garbage property that they'll probably never be able to pay out or pay back. And if they ever really want to leave, they're just going to have to walk on it.
Yes. Not to mention the amount of fentanyl that's coming through there, legal activity. And a lot of these places, I mean, honestly, are like unlivable. And all I could think to myself is, and sorry, David, being the millennial, date Scott and I here, so Gen Xer and you, the boomer. Back in the day. Back in my day!
Tell you what.
Can you imagine this was going to be a 2020 special, or this week on 60 Minutes?
Oh, yeah.
And a whole feature on what's going on there?
Yeah.
People would be shocked, and people would watch it like, holy cow, but we don't have an honest media anymore.
Well, and another thing I thought of, too, you can't pay the money back, which... let's face it, that's going to happen. What do you resort to try to get money quickly?
Yeah.
Find a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever find a way, whether it's, you know, selling drugs or whether it's robbing people or whatever.
Yes. Okay, so with all this going on, I see this video, and we've talked about Victor Davis Hanson and played clips of him many times from the Hoover Institute. He's a brilliant dude.
Oh, yeah.
Understands history, understands this country, and... he was talking about who benefits from illegal immigration. And, of course, he makes the point it's certainly Democrats because it's a future voting bloc.
Yeah.
And really lays that out in an eloquent way. He also talks about the countries these people are coming from because it's less of an issue for them. And a lot of times when you have people coming in illegally, they send their money back to their home countries.
Mm-hmm.
It's like billions of dollars leaves the United States every year to go to Guatemala and Honduras and these other countries. Another part, we've also talked about this, corporations in America benefit. And he lays this out.
It's not a political question. If you are a Republican, Chamber of Commerce supporter, corporation, you want workers that will be industrious at the lowest wage possible. So what we've seen for the last 40 years are meatpacking plants, agriculture, hospitality industry, landscaping, says to companies throughout the United States, we've got to band together because we have interest in an open border. Our population, as we've seen in an earlier lecture, is fossilizing.
Don't take that personal, Scott. I'm in that too.
That's all right.
Fossilizing. Dang. Yeah, we're getting older.
It's static. Our demography is shrinking. We're at 1.8, 1.9 of our replacement. We need young men, especially young women. If they come across the border, no questions asked. They're vulnerable. They're worried about their immigration status. They work very hard. Compared to rural Mexico, the United States is a paradise. They're happy to get wages at three or four times, even though the wages are lower than what we pay American citizens. So the corporate establishment has been a big advocate of open borders.
Yes. That doesn't get talked about enough, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And it's
goes a free pass.
It goes back even further than 40 years. I mean, if you go back to when, you know, the corporations, when big, you know, corporate barons and whatnot of days past started having to contend with organized labor and then labor laws at the federal level, they were panicked. They were freaking out because they think, okay, well, how am I going to keep my profit margins if I have to guarantee an 8-hour yep. work day and whatnot, and go on and so on and so forth. And in the 1950s, it's really interesting because the dynamic was almost flipped, where Republicans were actually fine with more and more you know, illegal immigrants and whatnot coming in. They were totally
another
cool
part
with
of
it.
He points that out. Yeah, it's hilarious.
And Democrats hated it because they were the party of labor unions.
Dude, that was all the way up through Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden, everybody else. Yes. And then they flipped. Yes. Well, and this was the last part. There's like 10 seconds left, but this is... It says it all to me.
And it's been very hard to write op-eds for the Wall Street Journal or talk to the Chamber of Commerce because they feel that immigration, even if it's illegal, is very good for their own bottom line.
Yep. And that part, and the right can talk about it. Part of it's the right's fault through the years of where we're at right now. It just went into another gear. But man, oh man, what a problem. All right. Ready to go around the table? We do this every day about this time. May not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. Today, David, what's your story?
Now, it's actually really funny that this is making the rounds now. It was an interview from about a year ago on the Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Okay.
But I watched it, and I know it's making a lot of noise online, and I just really wanted to bring some clips to the show today. Trevor Noah from The Daily Show is interviewing a guy who thinks he's a woman. And this person is an athlete, and he is defending the idea of men competing in women's sports. And what's hilarious about it to me is Trevor Noah very sheepishly pushes back against the idea that it's fair for a man to pretend to be a woman in sports. Because, and you can tell watching it, I know this is like mind reading, mm-hmm. but he is so uncomfortable. But he knows the person sitting across the table from him is a dude. And he knows that when this dude is saying that there's no physical advantage of men competing against women, he knows that's crazy. But he's also a good little liberal boy. So he can't outright say it.
Well, the SEALs were applauding every time she spoke.
Yeah.
You know, big applause.
Well, the applause light goes on.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
They loved it. Okay.
Roll the audio.
If I were to push back, or you know, even not even playing devil's advocates, there are a few things that could be argued. Number one, you could argue that although the trans woman who competed in the Olympics didn't dominate, she did beat a field of women who might have qualified for that position, right? My question then comes in from a really, honestly, a different place. I look at somebody like Oscar Pistorius from South Africa, right? He was the double amputee.
Yep.
And Oscar Pistorius actually went, well, I want to compete in the able-bodied race, mm-hmm. right? And people were like, well, do you have an advantage? Do you not, et cetera, because of the prosthetics. But then could there not be an argument if there is no advantage in that, that then trans women should be able to compete, but in the men's races then, because they'd still be able to compete in the sport?
But they're women, and they're female. So, like I said, this boils down to, are trans women really women? Are they really female?
No.
Because if you think yes, then we belong competing with other women.
I mean, it's remarkable because Trevor Noah, I don't think he's a complete idiot. I think he's a left-wing hack.
Agree.
And that's about it. But he knows, sitting there interviewing this guy, that this whole thing is a movement led by mentally disturbed people who are demanding that the rest of us share in their delusion. And oftentimes they say, if you don't share in our delusion, we'll kill ourselves. He knows this is toxic and crazy, but he can't really push back against it because he's put himself in a box.
He has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think the only thing he could choose is to not do it at all. But on that show... Yeah.
And that's why the tiptoeing around with the question.
My question comes from a different place.
I start out with, those people are saying, or people have said.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The Pistorius, I got to tell you, that was a comparison I've never heard before. That's really interesting.
That is an interesting comparison.
To go at that angle. Wow. All right, Scott, what's your story?
My story involves San Francisco and the district attorney in San Francisco, a woman by the name of Brooke Jenkins. People are pissed in San Francisco, and she spoke to him yesterday. Officials met with the frustrated residents to discuss the enforcement plans to address the city's drug and homelessness problem. The DA acknowledged, hey, we got a problem here. Right now, we have a city that's been lacking in accountability. Really? She went on to say, we have created a culture, not just in San Francisco, but quite frankly, around the country.
people just walk into stores and take whatever they want.
Yeah.
And the rest of us stand there waiting to pay. This can't happen. Could it be perhaps you weren't prosecuting any crimes in this city? I mean, I got a unique little innovative idea for you here to solve the problem. What would happen if we made it illegal to buy, sell, and use drugs and be under the influence of drugs in public? Just a crazy idea. Maybe those people should be arrested. I don't know. Here's I just the love thing. These people who are baffled by it. This is just, there's no accountability. Well, of course there's not.
I'm going to come at this at a different angle.
Here we go.
Okay. Seriously. Talking about people being in line to pay. And you see people just walking out with stuff and no one says anything. You're not going to get in trouble at all. They just let you go, correct?
Right.
It's not like, well, you don't have to appear in court. I mean, nothing happens, correct?
No, you go home and start selling the stuff. Yeah.
Then why in the world would you not just get out of line and leave and take the stuff with you?
Because you're a decent human being, I think.
Okay, I think you know it's wrong. I understand where you're getting at, but let me play the other side.
Okay.
Scott, you're taking money away from your family. You could be using the money you were spending on those goods and spend it to help your kids or your grandkids do other things. Why should you have to pay when no one else does?
Well, I have a hard time with the 12-pack of Blatts I have up there that I'm ready to pay for and the box of Swishers. Just saying.
You're going back like 9 years now.
No, but when I was doing it, But no, I'm just thinking. I think it's there crazy. Are decent people who are like, no, I'm going to pay for it.
Of course,
this is wrong.
I know.
But again, you got a DA who's now all of a sudden going, well, I'm concerned about this. This is crazy.
Yes. Story I have. I'll just tell you. I saw it and I thought of you, Scott. I'm like, I'm going to use this for what's my story. Because it's one of your worst fears.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would say. It's almost incomprehensible that it's one of your worst fears because it could never happen.
Don't say never.
Well, there's a reason it happened to this lady in Michigan. She was in an outhouse.
Oh, God. See?
A couple days ago.
Yep.
She dropped her Apple Watch into the toilet.
Oh, no. The toilet or the...
Down.
Yeah. In the muck and the mire. Yeah.
Take the L. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry.
I know they're a little expensive. I mean, the cheaper ones are what, $400, but it's upwards of $700 or whatever.
No, they're expensive. Yeah.
But she's like, I gotta have the watch.
Oh no.
She lowered herself inside.
Oh.
Okay.
No.
She was small enough to fit down inside, but then she got stuck, yelling for help.
She's face down in it.
She was lowering herself the other way with her feet.
Oh, and I then thought
like
she
reached down. The way I understand it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. See, you can go down through that hole. You can do it.
Mm.
That hole's big enough.
First responder showed up, found her, quote, in the muck.
Oh, gosh. Dang it.
They removed the toilet top itself.
Oh.
And they used a strap to hoist her out to safety.
How's the watch?
She did retrieve the watch.
Does it still work?
That part we don't know. It's been a couple days.
That's a commercial. Boy, just dip me in bleach if I do something like, golly, gosh damn.
And then the police had to issue the public reminder. If you lose an item in an outhouse toilet, do not attempt to venture inside the containment area. Serious injury may occur.
God dang.
News update next. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, what to do at the border? Trump's got an idea?
Yeah, well, several years ago, if you remember, there was a report about how Trump floated the idea of putting more alligators in the Rio Grande to prevent illegal border crossings.
I remember that one.
I always felt like that at this point, like that was an idea that was a well that was not sufficiently tapped or at least even explored, you know?
The actual idea.
Right. Well, I mean, hey, look, you got problems, you know, right? You could make it a green weenie thing, okay? It's like climate change is devastating wetland areas in Florida and Louisiana and all around the Gulf Coast. We're saving the alligators by putting them in the Rio Grande.
There you go. All you people on the left, you're whining about the buoys? Okay, we'll get rid of them. Put in the gators.
Put in the gators. Yes. Why do you hate alligators?
I would say do it now.
Well, yesterday... Trump shared a meme along those lines. It's a bunch of alligators sitting at the water's edge. And a text reading, new border security. We'll work for food. And the other caption is problem solved.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I don't know if that's helpful or not, but I can't help. That's funny. Oh, goodness. You know what I ran across? Yeah, I got a piece of audio. It will either make you scream in anger or laugh, or somewhere between the two. I'm not sure. You want to hear Obama from a couple of years ago talking about the border? This is something. Listen to this.
Now in 2018, they're telling you the existential threat to America is a bunch of poor refugees 1,000 miles away.
Oh, really?
They're even taking our brave troops away from their families for a political stunt at the border. And the men and women of our military deserve better than that.
They're doing another round of troop deployment now, the Biden administration is.
I know. Yeah, isn't that something?
I forget the Southern Baptist thing with him.
He could go into it when he needs to.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know if he wrote any letters that day about any sort of fantasies about other dudes. I don't know if that was happening still at that time.
I like guys.
What's wrong with that? This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay. Illegal immigration. You know, we've said at the breaking point, I don't know how many times. It just keeps rolling on. And now New York is like crying uncle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, New York, Chicago, all these other cities have embraced the sanctuary city mantra.
Well, you've had a fight in New York between the mayor and the governor for a while.
Yeah.
And the mayor saying, we can't take any more in New York City. And the governor saying, hey, shush, shush. Yes, we can. We love the illegal immigrants.
Guess who's mine got
I mean, the asylum seekers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, it's rich hearing them complain about this when we are now in a situation where in Eagle Pass, Texas, the number of migrants by the end of the week will probably outnumber the official population of the city. You've got...
You know what's crazy? I'm almost surprised it hasn't already happened.
Yeah, I mean, in the last 24 hours, you've had like 10,000 now. That they're saying, yeah. Or the last 48 hours, I guess. I mean, it's absolutely insane what is going on right now. And so it's rich hearing from these latte liberals who are all about, well, the Statue of Liberty, we got to be welcoming, blah, 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 blah. Now suddenly complaining about this problem. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has decided now that New York probably isn't the best place for illegal immigrants.
What?
Places like New York really are at capacity. You know, we have large hearts. You want to be generous and supportive to people who are experiencing humanitarian crisis. But there is a limit to what we can do.
No, that's racist. You made
Kathy,
those rules.
Have you ever once in your life given to an organization that serves people in those countries? Ever? With your big heart? Just curious. Kathy, have you ever gone to the inner city and spent time with kids on a volunteer basis for anything? Just curious. And maybe she has.
Well... She did do a photo op a while back, but she made sure all the poor black kids wore masks during the photo op.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
God.
She wouldn't want to get their poor black kid germs.
Right. Yeah, but you got to have the appearance that we care.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes. You know, I mentioned this earlier. Victor Davis Hanson from the Hoover Institute. This whole piece about who benefits from illegal immigration. Part of that was big business corporations, and he even mentioned how it's hard to write an op-ed piece for the Wall Street Journal because they're like, legal immigration, there are a lot of companies that could benefit from that. But it's also, of course, the Democratic Party. And, you know, and this was a couple years ago when he laid this out, and you see it even more so now, really.
The influx of people from south of the border under illegal auspices, in desperate need of social services and entitlement. And the Democratic Party said, If you come illegally, we will ensure that you will not be subject to the enforcement of immigration laws. We will provide you with entitlements, but we expect in exchange fealty and loyalty and fidelity at the polls.
Yeah, sanctuary cities, all that. We got you here, but you got to be voting for us now. Okay? Got it? All right. And he goes on.
And so in the eyes of the Democratic Party, illegal immigration has been a godsend in the Electoral College. If we were to go back and look at speeches from Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Hillary and Bill Clinton, they're quite astounding. They're worried about the American worker, especially the union worker. And they say on the podium again and again, we've got to stop illegal immigration. It's injurious to the American citizen. It lowers the wages. It destroys unions. That has all ended now.
And do you remember that time? Because it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, it's different.
Democratic Party flipped and became an advocate of open borders. Why? Because of the sheer numbers. It's not 1 or 2 or 3 million people are here illegally. As I said, it's over 20 million.
And that was 2 years ago. Upwards of 30 now. And part of that, he was also talking about California used to go either way, Republican, Democrat, and all these different states that have flipped in the last 10 to 20 years. From red to blue. Because a lot of times, well, I mean, as long as you have ID, you can vote.
Right
wing conspiracy. No, it's absolutely happened.
Well, and all the different ways you can vote has been normalized.
Well, and it's, I mean, it's not only actually casting a ballot at the ballot box, and I've made this point before. It is about making sure that you have as many people as possible living in a state by the time the next census rolls around. Because you look at where the federal government, I'm not the governor of Texas, the federal government has sent a lot of these people to. It's Illinois, it's New York, it's Michigan. All of those states have lost as many as, what, 3 congressional seats since the 2010 census? And remember, ahead of the 2020 census, liberals freaked the heck out because the Trump administration was telling them to not count illegal immigrants in their population. Your state's population determines the number of seats your state gets in the House of Representatives. So if you look at New York in particular, they've lost 3 seats since 2010. That's a big deal. Illinois has lost 2.
Yeah.
So
that's because people have left the state.
Yes, because people have left the state. There's been a mass migration out of American citizens. So it's about restocking the pond. If these people can wind up voting at some point, that's a very happy bonus. But the here and now game is about stocking the pond and sort of like juicing the numbers in states that have had population loss that typically will go for Democrats.
All right. More on that later, man. It's just mind-blowing in so many different ways. Let's go to the CDC, because it's crazy what the CDC is recommending, especially for kids.
Oh, yeah.
With the latest vaccine. As far as I know, we're the only country to do that.
Well, 6 months and up, you're talking
about.
Unreal. Yeah. So, Florida governor.
Who's listening?
Yeah. Florida governor and Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis did an interview with ABC News, and he talked about how his state is not jumping overboard to pump people full of the COVID vaccine boosters, because the benefits, especially for younger people, especially kids, haven't been demonstrated.
No.
Well, the CDC disagrees with that.
But how good has CDC done, with all due respect, over the last few years? How many people trust CDC at this point? And I was somebody 5 years ago. If you would have said CDC said this, that would have carried a lot of weight for me.
I think all three of us would say that.
Absolutely, without question.
Yep.
I was in the trenches during COVID. They were citing flimsy studies saying that masks will stop COVID. They were citing flimsy studies about the mRNA shots originally. Remember, they said, the CDC director said, if you take these shots, you will not get COVID. That is not true. We know it's not true. People got COVID. They would make representations which were not true. So the trust that's been lost, I think, has been incalculable. And one of the things that I said is, when I come in, we're going to have a reckoning about all these COVID policies. We're going to hold people accountable who got it wrong.
Good. Hope it happens.
Yeah.
You know, they should be held accountable.
Absolutely. the fact that no one has been held accountable is stunning.
Yes. But, I mean, your hands are tied in some ways. But yes, I totally get your point.
But, you know,
you want to see Fauci up there, and he won't answer just the way Merrick Garland did yesterday. Put a dog collar on all of them until they tell the truth.
I think he's quite as cagey as Garland is, but we'll see.
Okay. John Fetterman. He's been in the news a lot. When he's in the news, it's usually not for anything good.
Boy, he's angry.
No, yeah. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, who made history as the first piece of cabbage ever elected to the United States Senate, got the Senate to change the dress code rules because he gets sad if he has to wear a suit and tie.
You're not even making that up.
No, that's...
He gets sad.
Yeah, he gets sad. Yeah. And so today he was wearing the same outfit as he did yesterday, and it's like this like way too baggy button-up shirt and basketball shorts and whatnot. And it's like, look, I'm not a fashion guru, obviously, but, you know, if I have to be somewhere important, I'm going to dress up.
He actually went button up or no hoodie today?
No hoodie today, no.
Wow, okay.
So people have been critical of that, including now the editorial of the Washington Post, editorial board at the Washington Post.
Oh.
They're like, oh, come on, man. You know, we got to have some level of respect in the United States Senate. Yes. Fetterman tried his tough guy act, sending out this written statement first, saying if those, quote unquote, if I'll just read it verbatim.
Okay.
If those jagoffs in the House stop trying to shut our government down and fully support Ukraine, then I will save democracy by wearing a suit on the Senate floor next week. So,
okay, the act's tired. I think.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say everyone on this show, there was some bit of sympathy at one point in time?
Yeah.
Sure.
Gone now.
Oh, totally gone.
I mean, if you're going to try to dish it out, but you can't actually do it verbally, it just looks bad. It's a terrible look. And you're just an idiot at that point. Now, he did actually try to say this on MSNBC, and it came out like this.
Okay.
Well, I said, hey now, Georgia.
See, David sends me the audio, and I just think it's a John Fetterman clip. It wasn't.
Oh, gosh, dang it. Fetterman sings Van Morrison.
Well, honestly, that sounds better than Fetterman, to be honest with you.
Well, I said, hey now, Georgia.
I don't even feel bad about piling on that guy.
Oh, you know what? I don't either. Not anymore. I'll
tell you this. Before 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have made that joke.
No.
But if you're going to start going and trying to play the tough guy act, bro, and you're saying, hey, I'm ready, I'm fit to be a senator, except I can't wear a suit and tie because it gives me a case of the sads, but then you're still going to try to smack talk? Oh, yes. No. Now it's, all right, gazpacho brain. All right, gloves off.
Well, dude, I think it's just out of the goodness of people's hearts. If you see someone that is challenged in some sort of way, some sort of mental challenge, whatever you want to call it, you almost automatically think, well, they're a nice person because you have a form of sympathy for them. But there are plenty of special needs people that are total a-holes, if you're to be honest. And he's just another one to me.
Yeah.
And they deserve the same sort of criticism, whatever you want to call it, than anybody else. What? Why do you look at me like that?
Well,
what?
I mean,
special needs a-hole.
They are, dude. It's you. We all know this.
Okay, I know.
There's a form of sympathy, but that doesn't mean they can't be a total jerk.
Right, exactly.
You see it all the time.
Yes. Okay. And he personifies that. Yes. Well,
and look, he says that he's fit to serve in the Senate, so obviously, you know, zingers shouldn't bother him.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the guy gets out there, dude.
This is a president that is committed to infrastructure. Yeah, and then on top of that, the jewel kind of a law.
And you're a smack talker? Take a seat and put on a tie, you freaking loser.
Imagine walking into J.P. Morgan with basketball shorts on saying, I'm sorry, but I get sad when I wear a suit and tie.
I want to hear the basketball player say, I get sad that I can't get dressed up. Can I wear a tie on the court?
Get out of my sight.
News update, more straight ahead. The Mark the Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley.
Yeah.
Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Well, you got to have fun, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Even as the world is coming apart at the seams, or at least that's the way it seems. You got to have fun. Okay, David, you have a clip of this person saying that it's racist to say that men shouldn't compete in women's sports. How is that racist?
Yeah, I this is starting to make the rounds again. It's an interview from last year. Trevor Noah on The Daily Show is interviewing this dude who thinks he's a woman and says that there's no problem with dudes competing against women at high-level athletic competitions.
Okay.
So Trevor Noah is interviewing this guy, and apparently, if you think it's unfair to have a biological man competing against biological women, mm-hmm. that there's inherently a disparity there, you're racist.
What? Yep. Racist?
Okay. All right.
It's very simple. Just stop policing who counts as a real woman, because this has had history of racism built into it over the years.
Oh, stop it.
What does that mean?
Listen to this statement again.
Policing who counts as a real woman. Because
stop policing it. And so if someone says they want to go into the locker room and watch women undress, you let them do it. Or you're racist. That's right.
It's not an accident that the intersex athletes who get singled out are women of color from the global south. Who gets singled out for scrutiny is based on white women's conceptions of femininity. And that's being weaponized against trans people, too. Okay. So it's a fear of protecting the fragile, weak, cis white woman from the rest of us.
Hold on a second. Wow. You calling anyone
the fragile, weak, cis white woman
is
from
hilarious.
The rest of us.
So.
And then the Daily Show audience applauses.
Oh, yeah.
Little hesitation, but still, they did it.
Well, when they look at a couple of people doing it, they just do it too.
Right. Because they're bold.
Yeah.
Individual thinkers.
Nobody get out of line.
Wow. I think I know
that whole piece right there is insanity.
I think I understand why that didn't make such a wave when it first happened, because no one watched that show.
Yeah,
but someone must have come across this and said, "Holy mackerel, this is bat nuts crazy."
Yeah,
and then once you see it, I can see sharing it. Look how kooky this is. Yeah, that's pretty wild, man. Wow. I don't do a whole lot of entertainment news on the show, but I thought you might find this interesting. Do you hear the story about Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson? Anybody?
Uh-uh.
No.
And the thought that they might be, like, sort of brothers?
Like, actually related?
Yes.
What do you mean, like, sort of brothers? What does that mean?
Well, there's a bit of a story to it. And the way the story goes is that Matthew McConaughey said, "We're sitting around in Greece one night talking, and my mom out of nowhere says, 'I knew your dad, Woody,' because Woody Harrelson was there too." Woody Harrelson's like, "Well, I didn't know that." And she said, "Just saying, we may have frequented the same similar place out in West Texas one time when he was on furlough." And said, McConaughey is just in the moment thinking, "What's going on?"
Mm-hmm.
Said, "We all went, what? Now we got to see some DNA tests." Apparently, Kay was separated from Matthew's dad right around the time she knew Woody's dad.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be something?
To find out all these years later.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what movie is in the works from this. We'll wait and see. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show. Okay, biggest story today, David.
I mean, the invasion is back on at the southern border. I mean, it never really stopped, but no. I mean, it has ramped up significantly. To where it looks like we'll have a record week, breaking the previous records that were shattered by this administration. So at least Joe Biden isn't lying when he says his administration is historic. It's a historic dissolution of our nation's sovereignty is what's happening right now.
The country is forever changed. There's no arguing that. That's just a fact. Okay, so more that. And a lot of these people are not just coming from, like, the southern countries.
No.
They're coming from all over the place. Full news update straight ahead. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the millennial. The sexy boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, so talking about illegal immigration, and it rolls on and on and on, a massive day yesterday. And then I see, of all places, Daily Mail has an exclusive. Hundreds of African migrants sneak into the United States in broad daylight after exploiting immigration loophole in Nicaragua that allows them in with no questions asked for just $160.
Wow.
And you go along with this story, and they're following this guy named Baba, who's 25. And he actually thanked Joe Biden when he got across the border, got on his knees. It's like, thank you, Joe Biden, for opening the border. This chance of new life in America. And I mean, and if you are Baba, I don't blame him for wanting to come to the United States. You blame our government for not doing anything at the border. And it goes on and on. And I'm looking at all of these pictures. And you see in Lukeville, Arizona, where there was like 600, you know, illegals yesterday, where someone cut a part of the fencing, you know, metal cutter, so you could sort of shimmy through.
Yeah.
And then Border Patrol's got to try to, you know, fix that. I mean, all I'm seeing in this piece is just pictures of dudes. 34-year-old delivery driver from, is that Nigeria? No, that's not Nigeria. Oh, my goodness, man. I'm going to hand this to you. This was part of the plan, Scott. They give Baba's journey of where he started and where he ended up. And I just wanted to get your reaction when you see that. This guy went all over the
place.
Holy
cow.
Can you describe it?
Well, he was an instant Istanbul Turkey.
Yeah. But he had fly there.
Yeah. And then he went to Bogota. And from Bogota to San Salvador.
Yes.
From San Salvador to Managua, Nicaragua.
Yeah.
You have to say it like that. It's in the news business.
Good job.
And then he went to, ended up in Lukeville, Arizona, 3,000 miles track from Managua, Nicaragua.
He paid over $8,000.
$8,000. Who'd he pay it to?
He said businessmen, which means smugglers.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He started in some place I can't even pronounce.
Yeah.
I've never
West
even heard
African
of
nation. Yeah, I had
yeah,
heard
it's
of
in
it
West
either.
Africa somewhere.
Why do you think I handed you the paper? I was hoping you'd give a shout out.
No, I wasn't. I can't even begin to get on that one. I was going to try Nacogdoches or whatever.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know. Mauritania.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. He started in Mauritania, and from there to. But that doesn't. Man, they must not have GPS because that's a long way to go.
Well, when you're going through a network of human smugglers, yes. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there's not really much of a direct flight. You know, yeah, you got to talk to a bunch of different guys.
Well, yeah, 3,100.
And it's not really, you know, a democracy there where you can ask questions.
Right.
Hey, do we have to go way out of the way here?
Yeah, we're going to hit all the lights if we go this way. Yeah. This is.
Okay. So I mentioned this, you know, this sort of thing, man. Every once in a while, you'll see it in national news because it affects New York City or another big city. But as far as Texas, you don't see much about it, or Arizona or the southern states.
No.
Okay. But one of the big things that's out there, Republicans threatening to shut down the government. Another government shutdown looms.
Yeah.
10 days away.
Yeah.
Republicans making demands. And then you have the House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, and he is out there saying, hey, this is part of it. We're going to get this done. It's not good for the country. And, you know, Mitch McConnell is out there saying, oh, it hurts us politically from government shutdown. You know, just typical nonsense. And then there's Chip Roy, Republican from Texas. And he was talking with Jesse Kelly. And if you remember, this is a little deep in the weeds, but the omnibus bill, when it was passed last December, he went freaking nuke on the floor. I mean, it was a speech for the ages as far as I was concerned, because it's how we're wrecking the country. And he was saying, with this current situation, we shouldn't pass it again if it's going to be the same stuff. We could, you know, try to get something done with this.
Our position is that we should not do that. We should limit those funds and or get massive policy changes starting first with the border.
Yes.
And ensuring that we actually change what's happening at the border with respect to the assault on Texas and endangering our country, but also dealing with things like the Department of Justice, the Department of Defense and its wokeness. I'm saying to my Republican leadership, pick a damn fight. Name one thing.
Yeah, listen to that. Okay, hold on a second. Are you down with him so far, what he's saying?
Yep.
Yeah. I think most working class Americans agree. Dude, we just can't keep going trillions of dollars in debt. All this woke nonsense. Secure the border, for crying out loud. And then he brings up this point.
Name one thing you're proud of your Republican majorities doing in the last 30 years. In my lifetime, I can't remember a damn thing that Republican leadership and Republican majorities have ever given the American people. Nothing. They talk about welfare reform. They talk about tax cuts for, you know, corporations. Come on. Like, when have they stood up and fought for you or me? Okay? And that's what we need.
What do you think of that?
Wow. Needs to be said.
Yeah, and I can understand where people critical of that view could come out and say, well, you don't really have much leverage right now because you barely control the House of Representatives, you don't control the Senate, and you don't control the White House right now. And so for the people thinking 2 years ahead, or I guess less than that now, of course, like just over a year ahead and more, you're thinking, well, we got to win these little battles, or I guess lose these little battles in order to win the bigger battles, except that strategy hasn't worked either. And to me, there's a guy who's on Twitter, X, whatever, called, he goes by Oilfield Rando. But he does tracking of individual line item expenditures that get made in the federal government. And it is fascinating to see. I mean, he's one of the guys who called attention to the whatever $2,500 grant to transgender entrepreneur makeup artists in Nepal.
Right.
Right.
Remember that.
And it's like, if you wanted to have at least a moral victory, spend the next month reading from that guy's blog and just read the headlines. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
And just say, this is what we're spending money on. And you just read it and say, Americans, are you cool with all of this?
It's a great idea. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I could get on a soapbox about 2016 after the election, taking office in 2017, and the Republicans had the power and they were going to do all these things. And healthcare, and where's Mitch? I'll never forget Trump. Get to work, Mitch. Didn't happen. Anyway, let's move on to Dave Portnoy. This is an interesting story.
Wow, this is a
great
story.
You were listening
story.
To this yesterday, David. Yeah, what happened here?
Dave Portnoy, he's the Barstool Sports guy. I think he just did an interview with Tucker Carlson a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And the left has been out to get this guy. I don't even think of him really as a conservative. I think they just don't like anybody who's not woke.
I would agree with
that's
that.
That's really what it comes down to.
And he'll, toxic masculinity is something.
And he went viral a couple years ago during the pandemic because he just lost his freaking mind about all the shutdown stuff that was going on.
Yes.
Like, really? You're going to crater small businesses until there's a cure for COVID? Like, this makes no sense. Like, we can't do this. Then he wound up raising a bunch of money for small businesses and restaurant owners. So he's throwing an event now for small businesses. He calls it Pizza Fest. And he caught wind of a couple of Washington Post reporters getting ready to publish a hit piece on him. They emailed one of his top sponsors asking for comment on, quote, associating with Dave Portnoy, who has a history of misogynistic comments and problematic behavior. So Dave,
because he's dated young girls and a bunch of stuff, and I would say, you know, I don't think he's ever a guy you'd want your sister to date, to be honest.
Right.
But he's done a lot of good things for small business, and yeah, this is the type of person the Washington Post would totally go after.
Yeah, so Dave decides to pick up the phone and call one of the reporters who's been bugging his sponsors and records it.
Excellent. And this is part one?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I haven't said anything like that.
I can read... If you want, I can read what you actually sent. I have it.
Yeah, read, because I sent a bunch of notes, so I want to make sure I know which one.
Okay.
Oh, this is awesome.
So,
okay.
So then he, you know, reads the email, which says flatly that he has a history of making misogynistic comments and having problematic behavior. And she goes, oh, well, yeah, I did ask that one sponsor that question.
Okay, roll it.
I really did want them to respond, and I was hoping to get something from them.
Do you think that's fair? Like, that is pretty pointed. You said you didn't do it, then I have the exact evidence of you doing it, so...
No, I didn't say I didn't do that. I said I did. That was the one that was the most pointed.
Well, no, before I provided proof, you said you didn't really remember doing that, and then I read it to you, and you're like, oh, yeah, I did it that one time. So it seemed like you were going to try to shame sponsors for being associated with me and put them in a box when I know they all love me, but nobody wants the Washington Post writing an article sponsor associated with misogynic, you know, racist piece of shit. Nobody wants that. That's what you're trying to do.
Because I was hoping for a dialogue with them. You know, sometimes you have to say something like, this is like, you know, it's sort of a reporting tactic. When you want someone to respond, you kind of have to indicate that there might be something negative, and then you get them to engage. That's all I was trying to do. I really wanted them to engage with me.
That is a sad state of journalism if that's a tactic that you have to, what I would say is make up something about somebody.
There might be something negative, and so you want to give people a chance to respond.
I don't think it's 100% of the time, but I think it's a high percentage. If someone says, you just want a dialogue, they're full of crap.
Oh, yeah. No,
you ever done that, David? You ever done that in your career when you want to get an interview with a newsmaker of some kind?
What, lie to somebody?
Yeah, just lie to them.
And just, like, I think if you are actually saying, I'm going to write, you know, a hit piece or something, or, hey, I found this out, I'd like to get your response, then that's fine. But that's the whole, like, misogynistic whatever thing. Right. That's a judgment call. That's not hey, I've got evidence that you were embezzling X amount of dollars from the city treasury or whatever. Would you care to respond? You know, that's not the same thing. And just sort of farming for a response like that, I'm sure it is common, but you know what it is. It's about getting people on the defensive.
Well, and she was looking to get him, the sponsors, to pull themselves away from him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the event.
That's putting the pressure on
them. She wanted to wreck the event and him. And
yes.
Yeah. I mean, please, I know what you're doing.
Yeah. That's what a lot of them do for a living.
I mean, if I had a nickel for every time somebody pulled this crap, even with us, I, you know.
Oh, what's that? I don't want to go into too many details. There's some dude who works at some no-name media outlet who keeps emailing our bosses.
Yeah.
Like, wanting some statement about how our show negatively impacts the LGBTQ community or something like that.
I know exactly who that guy is, yeah.
And it's like, okay, I'm not going to waste my time with you.
Yeah, does it all the time. And then makes threats about sponsors and this kind of thing.
Didn't call back the failing New York Times.
Yeah.
But you know exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not talking to you.
No.
No, you're going to take whatever I say out of context and make either me personally or the show or people that have faith or people that have conservative values look bad.
Yeah.
That's what you do for a living. Yeah. Why would I do that?
Take things out of context. Yeah.
Yes. All if you time. Want to do a video interview, that still wouldn't do. Nah.
No.
I was going to go there for a second.
No. No, I'm not.
Because they chopped that too.
My favorite one was there was some political controversy in Mississippi, and MSNBC's Craig Melvin's producer emailed me asking for, how would you like to defend this since you're in Mississippi? I'm like, we have affiliates in Mississippi. They're great radio stations. You should talk to somebody there. I don't live there.
Or I want to come on and dispute what you're saying. It doesn't work that way. No.
All right. So Biden has created an office to prevent gun violence. Oh, this should be rich. Straight ahead. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, David, I had not heard this. Biden is going to create an office to prevent gun violence.
Yes, President Biden is going to be announcing tomorrow the creation of the first ever federal office of gun violence prevention.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Another extension of government.
Yeah, another thing. And, of course, you know who's all going to be a part of it. It's anti-gun groups. Not going to talk to, you know, police department associations if they're not aligned with you ideologically in terms of guns.
They never want to get to the root of this problem, do they?
No, they don't.
No, because they have to talk about uncomfortable things for them. Yes.
That's why it never gets solved.
No, exactly. It never will be solved.
All the money and resources into poverty in big cities and gun violence and everything else, and nothing gets done because you never get to the root of the problem.
You're asking the wrong questions, and you're not going to ask the right questions because you don't like the answers, and this is just going to continue.
It's just the attempt to disarm Americans. That's all
exactly.
It is. It's not about actually getting to a root of crime.
No, because they don't want to.
Right.
No.
It's and bad for people, business.
I suppose actually believe it. I don't know, man. There's no hope in that until you understand exactly why it's happening. You know, it's not one thing to say, I'm just tired of the violence. Enough. We need to make changes. You have to study the problem to understand it.
If only somebody could make a song.
Oh, like they did on The View yesterday?
Yeah, that would solve it. If they just keep playing that more often, I'm assuming everything will come to a close, yes.
Yeah. Don't know if you heard this, but... Kraft singles got recalled to prevent people from eating plastic.
What?
Yes. Kraft just issued a voluntary recall of Kraft singles to prevent people from eating the plastic wrappers. They say it's precautionary after a temporary issue with one of their wrapping machines.
Who's eating the plastic wrapper?
Well, when you remove it on each side, a thin strip of plastic can rip off and stick to the cheese. So you might not realize... Then you toss it on a burger, and that plastic could be a choking hazard, especially for kids, because you just didn't notice it there.
Mm. I guess.
You thought it was idiot-proof, didn't you?
I thought once I peeled the plastic off of it, it was...
I always assumed that Kraft singles were mostly plastic anyway.
Could be.
Tasty plastic.
By creating an office to prevent it.
Good.
This is the Markley Van Camp and Robert Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, you know, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in D.C., he met with representatives and senators today. And, of course, he spoke at the United Nations General Assembly this week.
Yes.
Warning about climate change. Because his minders told him to.
Yes.
Well, in New York, on the way to the United Nations, there was a giant screen set up. That was supposed to say glory to Ukraine. And so it has a Ukrainian flag. It's got the blue and then the bottom is the yellow and it looks like it's waving. But apparently, according to there's a little error here. And according to the company that owns the screen, there was a smart system there that compared the color yellow with the word Ukraine. It was supposed to say glory to Ukraine. And it replaced the word Ukraine automatically to urine. So it's got
autocorrect.
It's this gigantic screen with yellow and blue on it, and it says glory to urine on it. Which no disrespect to Ukraine, but glory to urine is extremely on brand for New York City.
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Glory to urine.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Go urine.
There'll be some outrage about this.
Of course.
Of course. Okay. Are you telling me, and switching gears here, who is saying the border's not open?
Vox News is Jackie Heinrich. Went to Capitol Hill and was asking, based on the obvious huge surge that's happening at the southern border, asked a few congressional Democrats, hey, what do you think about what's going on right now? So this is a montage that they put together at Fox News. It's Pramila Jayapal, Maxwell Frost, he's a senator out of Florida, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Ugh. Okay, roll it.
What we need is for Republicans to stop talking about open borders.
The border is not open.
What you see is different than what happens in actuality.
What I see is what...
What you see is different than what's actually happening.
Well, that's insulting.
Don't believe your lying eyes, Scotty.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
I don't know.
See is different than what happens in actuality.
Well, then what's different about it?
They're not going to tell you.
What I see is much different.
It's good for our party.
That's ridiculous.
We want these people to come through, but we have to act like somehow we're concerned.
What a complete jackass statement that was.
Oh, yeah.
It's like... Honey, why is there lipstick on your collar? Now listen, okay? What you see is different from what actually happened. Okay?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and you got Karine Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is, out there answering questions today. And I don't know, you got Fetterman with the hoodie in the Senate. She has a yellow top with a red blazer. It's like some former Ronald McDonald up there.
Well...
She looks ridiculous, because you got sort of the same hair. Oh, gosh. What a debacle. And I'm sure she just continues to lie about the border like she has forever.
Well, you need to take that up with fill in the blank.
Ugh. Goodness gracious, man. Never ends. And
God, these people, I mean, they just continue to sell that garbage.
Again, it was what? Thousands came through yesterday. More today. It's like another surge that's happening. And you're right, David. It's absolutely an invasion. Yep, just sort of rolling along.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz just said, what I'm seeing isn't true.
Yes.
Yes.
Like it's some sort of weird magic trick going on at the border.
What gets David Copperfield presents border invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's really only four people there. He just pulls it back and you see all... That's about the craziest thing I mean, that's ridiculous.
Different points in time. We've played clips from Victor Davis Hanson, Hoover Institute, incredibly intelligent guy, knows the history of the country, the history of the world, has talked about what's happened at the border, and in part, and this was from a couple of years ago, I just happened to see it recently, where he was saying, you know, in the end, who does this affect? This is interesting.
Again, how does this hurt the citizen and diminish the idea of citizenship? If you're a U.S. citizen, if you're a resident of the inner city or the barrio or Appalachia, and you don't have a lot of skills yet, and you want to go and get an entry-level job, and you want to get minimum wage, but somebody is hiring somebody off the books from Mexico or Honduras or Guatemala, and they, from an impoverished society, might even be willing to work under conditions that you would not as a U.S. citizen, then that diminishes your job opportunities. And that's exactly what's happening.
That was a couple of years ago. Not to mention the risk with fentanyl, gangs, everything else. And again, you have the left always talking about, we got to do more for our communities, black communities, brown and black people.
Yeah.
Discriminated against, whatever. Bring millions more in. You can't, you know, according to your own story, you can't take care of the people that are already here with opportunity. How can you do this? Because it benefits you. And the power brokers that make all of the money, they only get richer. They don't care.
No, they don't care. They don't care.
They really don't care at all.
They don't care.
More people in New York City? Suck it up. Deal with it. They're not affecting the rich
places yet. And they also know that these people are never going to vote red. Never. They got nothing to lose. They're not going to lose any elections over this.
That's what they're betting on.
Well, it's true.
Yes. You know, a little pushback. I don't know if you happen to see this in the news. Your boy, Scott, John Cusack, actor.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he's my boy.
Well, you guys used to be, you know, like buddies, Cub fans together, liking the same movies, liking the same. Wasn't he at Lilith Fair when you were there?
He may have been at Lilith Fair when I was there.
That's what I was thinking. Anyway.
Yeah, I might have sat next to him at Lilith Fair while I was there. And we were both wearing flannel shirts matching. Yeah.
He says now the Democratic elite sold out the working class for decades. They're full of bleep.
Wow, what happened to him?
I don't know. He learned to read? I don't know.
Did he blame Trump for that? Or?
Well, he says Obama corporatist Democrats.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Threw Obama under the bus.
Yeah. Dems have sold out the working class for decades. And this kind of bought and paid for betrayal of principles, fairness, historical precedent, any sense of moral and intellectual honesty, the kind of brutal, selfish, horrific actions one only does because they can get away with it. That was a surprise to some people.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
David?
Well, he's a man of the people, you know. John Cusack.
Yeah.
Think about it, man. He's been acting since early 80s.
I can't even think of the last movie he's done.
My point is,
yeah,
I don't think you can really relate to the common people.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, yeah, I mean,
if you're that guy.
All kinds of dough going around that family, yeah.
Anymore. Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Did happen to see this, just interesting, when it comes to exercise, a little bit of health news, that you are better off if you're working out in the morning, apparently. Can burn more calories if you're working out in the morning. I'm thinking, does it really matter?
I don't know.
You know, when you're if you're doing the same workout, I don't know. They said it did.
Maybe you're having more energy. I don't know.
I always thought it was mainly like you're in a fasted state, and then it has the residual benefits throughout the rest of the day. Like you're starting off with an elevated heart rate, and then it calms down, but you continue to burn calories more throughout the day.
That could be the odd thing, though, and it says this in the piece. The early morning exercisers were actually the most sedentary overall. They spent more time sitting than any other group.
Yeah, because you feel like you can get away with it.
Because you're done.
Yeah.
You're done for the day. And I'm not saying one's better than another, just sometimes, you know, depends on what your schedule is, when you can best fit it in. But I've noticed when you're trying to do it in the afternoon, other things tend to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a quick little story. You might find this amusing. We were done for the day, and I wanted to exercise. I got home. I didn't feel well. All of a sudden, I'm, like, feeling, like, sick to my stomach, feeling very good, like, shortness of breath. I had no idea what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, around 6 o'clock, I'm like, I'm cashing it. I'm just going to relax for the night, I guess. And I rarely do it, but about once, every once in a while, I'll go on Instagram to see if there's any updates from my family. What's, you know, who's posting, whatever. And I see this post. And after I saw it, man, I didn't feel like it. I had to get myself up. I had to try to work out. Do you want to hear what I heard?
Oh, sure. Gosh. Yeah.
It was Jocko.
There you go.
Jocko Willink. I'd never seen him before. He's got an Instagram. Of course, everybody does. And I'm like, you know what? I got to record this because I think you'll get a kick out of it. But there was no way I could sit there the rest of the night without getting up after I heard this. Roll it. And if you don't know Jocko Willink, retired Navy SEAL, inspirational speaker, overall badass. Go ahead. Yeah.
So you don't feel like it today. I know you had a long night. You're a little tired. You don't feel like it. I get it. But if you don't feel like getting after it, I hope you feel like being weak. I hope you feel like not accomplishing anything, because that's what's going to happen. So, yes. Don't pay attention to your feelings. Pay attention to your discipline. And go get some. Ow.
That's it.
There you go, man. There you go.
Wow.
I've sent so many Jocko videos to members of my family. Like, it's a little inspiration. How could I sit there and watch that and not get up?
So you did.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good for you. See, it worked.
It did. It worked.
Yeah.
I love that.
Feel like being weak.
Hope you get used to feel like being weak. Yes.
I get it. I understand. Weak. You're weak.
How do you watch that and then not get up?
Well,
I don't understand it.
I just like the understanding voice at first. Like, I understand. Yeah. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
And then he drops the hammer on you.
It's the great delivery.
But if you don't feel like getting after it, I hope you feel like being weak.
I'm doing burpees right now.
Like not a-
there you go.
Wow.
Everybody, 20 push-ups right now.
Do it.
All right, news update. I am a bodge, but what? News update next. You got to hear. The Barkley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Martin, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Well, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, asked about the current surge at the border, which looks like will break previous records set by this administration.
Okay.
And she was asked a very asked a question in a very interesting way, I think.
Oh, okay. Roll it.
How many people coming into this country illegally is enough for President Biden then?
Oh. Say that last one.
How many people illegally coming into the United States is enough for President Biden's administration?
Enough for what?
5.9 million people have been encountered illegally.
I know the numbers, but enough for what?
Enough just to stop the flow.
As I mentioned, this is a problem that's been around for some time now, for decades. A broken system.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Decades.
Let's go to the game film here from less than a year ago. They were doing everything possible. That's what she said. I think I have the clip. Now, it takes a while to get there because...
It's her.
Well, she was kicked in the back of the head by a mule as a child, so...
Well, we got an equity hire here. I mean, just be patient.
What we stand by is that we are doing everything that we can to make sure that that we follow the process that's been put forth. That's why we have historic funding to do just that, to make sure that the folks that we encounter at the border be removed or expelled.
No wonder she backs Fetterman and Biden all the time.
Well,
try to make her look better.
Wow.
Remember in May when she said that illegal border crossings had dropped 90%?
That's right.
And then she was challenged on that, and boy, that old mule kick came roaring back.
You said yesterday that when it comes to illegal migration, you've seen it come down by more than 90%. Where did that number come from?
I was speaking.
CDP is telling us the number is.
I hear you. I'm about to answer.
136,000 people more.
I'm about to answer you. If the dramatics could come down just a little bit. If the dramatics could come down a little
bit. What's dramatic about asking a question about?
Okay, I'm going to answer. So I was speaking to the parolee program. As you know, the president put in place a parolee program to deal with certain countries on ways that we can limit illegal migration. And we have seen, the data has shown us, that it has gone down by more than 90%.
No, what they actually did was recategorize a subset of people coming in. And said, well, they're parolees, not illegal entrants or whatever the other term or terminology you want to use. That's all they did. And even that, even going by that, it wasn't a drop of 90%.
No, they just lie. When she can spit it out, it's still a lie. It's an absolute joke, dude. You might as well just laugh along.
It's what you can't take these people serious. They're not serious people.
No, of course not. All right, speaking of which, who is saying I am a biological female? Oh, this dude? Where is this from?
I just have one more clip of this. It's making the rounds in an interview that Trevor Noah did on The Daily Show. Is last year, I believe. And it's this dude who says he's a woman and all of this. Trevor Noah very sheepishly tries to push back against the idea that it's fair for a man to pretend to be a woman and then compete against actual women. And this is like art, man.
Okay.
There are many who would argue who are not transphobes. There are many who are born biologically women who will say, but you have an unnatural advantage over me, and that makes the sport unfair. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, there's lots of ways you can respond to that. So the first is the very language of you were born and I'm not biological somehow, like I don't think I'm a cyborg. So like this idea that like, oh, you're not a biological woman. Well, I am a woman, that's a fact. I am female, so all my identity records, my racing license, my medical records, all say female, right? And I'm pretty sure I'm made of biological stuff. So I'm a biological female as well.
No,
actually, you're not.
And for all the people, and I understand with good hearts with the whole pronoun thing, you're trying to respect people. It's been brought up before. It's actually disrespectful for them to demand that you play pretend along with them when they have a mental illness. Go get some freaking help. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. Too strong? Okay. Biggest story of the day.
Biggest story of the day is the invasion that is underway yet again at our southern border. And there are still Democrats, some of them out there, who apparently haven't been affected by people, you know, sleeping on the streets outside of their home and their condo or whatever, who are saying the border is secure. It's obviously not. It's a lie, but
yeah,
they're still sticking by that.
I'm choosing my words carefully. They should all be out of office. I mean, Biden should be impeached. He's not upholding the laws of the United States. It's a freaking joke. The Robin Trifecta News Update next. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Trying to have some fun. There's plenty out there to make you angry, that's for sure. Okay, news update, David Van Camp.
All right, so we've got this invasion going on at the southern border. 10,000 people illegally crossing the border in one day.
No human is illegal.
It is crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's absolutely stunning to watch this happen. And when you hear numbers like, yeah, at least 6 million people in this country over the last nearly 3 years. I mean, remember, we've always heard for years, like, the population estimates of illegal immigrants here in this country is like between 9 and 12 million. It's definitely much higher than that. But
absolutely,
that's what we always hear, right? 9 to 12 million, yes. Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yep.
So, wait, you're telling me that we're on pace to double that number in one administration?
Correct.
In 4 years, right? Yes. Now.
That's been the plan.
Or at least on the low end of that estimate. Yes, we're going to double that. That's crazy, man. So, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, was asked about 10,000 people illegally crossing in one day by Fox News' Peter Ducey.
Thanks, Green. So what do you call it here at the White House when 10,000 people illegally cross the border in a single day?
So what do you call it, Peter, when GOP puts forth a wait, no. No, 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 you can't.
Green?
I'm answering. Okay, we're going to move
You're
on.
You're answering
no,
the
no,
question
no, no, no,
okay.
No, 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 we're moving on.
Green,
moving.
Please.
In the back.
You said you were stopping the flow of the border.
No, no, I tried to
migrants.
Answer. Peter, okay. I tried to answer the question. You stopped me. Let's go. Guys.
What?
You're answering the question with a question. Yeah, and turning it around on Republicans. No, 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 no. You're not talking about immigration reform. You're not talking about pathways to citizenship or anything like that. The question is, what do you call it when you have 10,000 people coming into the country illegally in a 24-hour time span? Because there's no congressional effort that can be done right now to stop that. The executive branch has the power to stop it. They won't.
No. And again, when people make it across, they're thankful because the entire world knows the border is open. They won't do anything about it.
I am so tired of all of this. I'm exhausted. But to be lied to about what... telling me the border's closed, it's under control, and I see what's going on, and I'm just sitting here with my hand up going, wait a minute.
No, there's so many people across the country that feel helpless because they see what's going on.
It does.
I mean,
you have a high percentage of
the country with their head in the sand, no idea what's going on. For the ones that know, you feel helpless, which is part of demoralizing an entire country. And if you have Marxist fantasies of what you want our country to be like, you're starting to see it.
Yeah.
We'll see if Lester Holt has anything to say about it tonight.
Well, oh, dude, come on. They're bought and paid for.
And I know that, you know, of course, a lot of attention is being paid to what happens in Texas and Arizona. But you also can't forget that in San Diego, they've been releasing thousands of people every single week. I mean, just in the past week or so, they've had 5,000 people let back out onto the street. And you have a coordinated effort by cartels just across the border, just flooding the zone. It's just, we're going to just send as many people as possible there.
I mean, before we get to the trifecta here, that's a serious question. I don't think we really know the answer, but it would be, is the only hope here that it's a Republican president in 24 and in early 25, there's a real effort to close up the border? Because if not, I mean, it's cashed.
Yeah.
As far as this being a socialist slash Marxist slash communist country. And people think you're half nuts when you say that. People that are following this understand it. Half the population thinks you're a kook if you say something like that.
Well,
but that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's coordinated.
No, I know. It's
I know. But isn't that what has to happen? And then And then is there going to be an effort to deport people?
Yeah, there needs to be. And there really has never been a huge operation to deport millions of people, but it has to happen.
Where are all these people going to go? I mean, to settle.
Well, we just
not to mention, we are $33 trillion in debt.
Chicago just spent $29 million for tents.
Yes.
$29 million for tents. Where are they going to put the tent? I mean,
they're hashing that out, and you got aldermen in different places saying, we can't take it here. We can't take them here. Oh, yeah.
Going to put them in Soldier Field. You got to move by Sunday, and we move them somewhere else. I can't wrap my head around any of this.
Yeah, it's wild.
And okay. How we just all sit there and go, well, okay.
Yeah. I mean, media hasn't done their job on this. You
this is
know
really,
that.
Really something.
Yeah, it's something that we Man. Never thought we would ever
no,
see.
No, ever.
All right, you ready for your three?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, here we go.
Are you ready?
One, two,
it's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins show.
Every day about this time, Scott Robbins' trifecta. Always helped by his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
You watching this stuff today, Casey? You seeing what we're seeing? Huh?
Yes.
Well, good. Dang.
I'm ready.
At least he's aware.
And three.
He's dead.
Number three, faith in the American political system has hit a new low.
Yeah, survey, Pew Research Center reflecting the growing, their words not mine, distaste with the nation's politics, with all the infighting. Four times as many Americans have unfavorable views of both parties today than they did in 2002. That's an all-time high, by the way. Four times as many people souring on both parties in just over 20 years. People are saying, well, that's pretty drastic. Survey also asked about trust in the federal government. How many people said that they trust the government at least most of the time? 16%. Wow.
Okay, we need to deport those 16% too.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, who are they, right? But that's not even one out of five. If this was just sort of some partisan distrust, you would kind of expect that number to at least be near 40%, right? As most of the Democrats would currently look at Washington, you know, a bit more charitably than we do. But survey also was particularly interesting because it didn't stick to just straight A, B, or C answers. When asked how people felt when thinking about politics today and what the best word to describe those feelings would be, the most common answer was exhausted.
Yes.
Speaking of three guys who do this for a living, we can relate to that. Respondents were also asked to pick the two words to best describe U.S. politics in 2023. Top choices were divisive and corrupt. There you have it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Talk to somebody from outside the country. They will tell you, oh, the American politics is volatile.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The people are not happy. I mean,
you don't trust the institutions at all. There's zero.
It's all been eroded.
Yes. It's all
How
gone.
How can you trust someone that looks you right in the eye and lies to you?
Well, and case in point is today.
Absolutely.
There's nothing. What? There's no crisis at the border. What are you talking about?
Yep.
We're getting closer and closer to number one.
The Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day, up to number
two.
Number two, Boston University is finding out that Henry Rogers, a.k.a. Ibram X. Kendi, one of the top critical race theory guys. Now he says he's not a critical race theory guy, but come on, he's a liar. They're finding out that he's actually a con artist.
What? You know, it's time to spin the old grifter wheel, and it landed right at Ibram X. Kendi's feet today. So how much money went into the Ibram X. Kendi Center for Anti-Racist Research? According to the Boston Globe, he raised tens of millions of dollars. It's at Boston University and hosted it there since the last 3 years anyway, since the whole George Floyd homicide thing in Minneapolis. The Boston University-based center has produced just two original papers since its founding in June of 2020. This according to the Free Beacon today. Output from the center's scholars largely consisted of op-eds or commentary posted on the center's website. So really, nobody's been doing anything.
Hold on a second. So you got tens of millions raised for Henry's anti-racist, whatever he calls it.
Yes.
And no one can say what the money's going to?
No.
Just a couple of papers.
Just a couple of papers and some op-ed pieces. Most of it's been like on the website internally.
So this is very much inspired by BLM.
Yes. And Ibram X. Kendi. Kendi,
well,
by the way.
Drift, you know?
Man. Wait a second. Patrice Cullors, you made how much?
Yeah.
How much did you get to your family?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I can do that.
You know, it seems the money didn't go where it was supposed to go, Jamie.
Heck you say.
Kendi has completed a number of personal projects since 2020.
Really?
Including a graphic novel focused on the history of racist ideas, a podcast called Be Anti-Racist, and a 5-episode TV show scheduled to debut on ESPN+.
You forgot about the hair extensions. You got that, too.
I didn't know about that. Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, isn't it? In recent months, Kendi has been on leave from the center. He's busy. I'm working on stuff, but I'm still getting paid.
No going into neighborhoods and helping out?
No, come on, no. Well,
no.
Well, it's
almost like the people who shout about racism the most aren't actually interested in solving any sort of problem that affects black people in America. It's more like, I don't know, they need the problem to persist in order to make more money.
Correct. It's a career choice for a lot of people.
Wow.
Well, Kendi showed up last week and apparently and fired a bunch of people because they got no money. Broke.
Well, they got nothing to do. They're not doing anything. Wow.
Want another one?
Well, yeah, it's the Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day. And now?
One.
Number one, there's a razor company called Braun.
Yeah.
And they're out with a new ad that has ruffled some feathers.
Keeps getting worse. I mean, really quickly getting worse. I mean, you've grown to expect some of these corporations to kowtow to the woke. And each and every time it's happened.
All the ESG crap, yeah.
They've lost customers and people are pissed. This time, it's Braun, the shaving company. They make a bunch of products that overpromise and underdeliver, in my opinion. All at a price usually that breaks the bank for most of us. We don't buy Braun products because they're just too damn expensive.
Are they?
Yeah, more than the other ones, yeah.
You don't use that to trim up anyone?
No, I get the low-rent ones.
Got it.
I get the Braun with two N's. they're now featuring a transgender biological female with a double mastectomy scar in their new shaving advertisement for their men's shaving range. It shows the person topless too, which the scars and the whole nine yards, but with a full beard.
Okay.
And the beard is being trimmed at the time. And where this came from or why they're doing this is anybody's guess, because it certainly isn't their audience. But they are doing it, even though Bud Light and Target have both tanked doing something similar.
Yeah, that's the only way you can explain
it. So they've got the trans... It's really disturbing when you see it.
So this is... I mean, biological female...
Becoming a man.
Is a male.
Yes.
And this is just the razor, just facial, not any sort of body trimming.
The mastectomy
stuff.
Scars, you can see.
That'd be nuts.
No, they're shaving the face because you got the full beard going there.
Got it.
I got that. I just ignored it.
What?
And there you have it.
What are you, nuts?
Scott Robbins trifecta. No, I don't worry about that. You know, clip.
I don't know
that.
If you do or not. I don't know what part of that is. They put that on later. I don't know. Staple it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know how any of this works.
Golly. Wow. I had another story, but I can't. Not at this time.
I've got a Gorilla Glue joke, but I'm not going to use it.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying, though.
Oh, boy. What a time to be alive, said David Van Camp in 2015.
Yep.
He had no idea was ahead of him.
No, sir.
All right, we got to get to another news update. And Nimrod's in the news straight ahead. Yeah. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Quick news update, David Van Camp.
We don't have time to get through all the audio that I'm harvesting right now.
Okay.
From Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. Because even
is it safe enough to say they're blaming Republicans for the border crisis?
Yes.
It's unreal.
How is that?
Yeah, it's because, well, you know, we need to work on the visa system and the pathway to citizenship and blah, 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 blah.
They just lie to people.
Yeah, this is not an immigration system issue. It's a national security issue that's happening right now. And everything Biden has done has only made it worse.
Yes.
What do you think is going to happen when the cartels and everybody else gets word that, oh, by the way, hundreds of thousands of people who crossed illegally are going to be able to legally work for the next year and a half?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
I know. It's so frustrating, man. Okay. Oh, real quick. I don't know if you saw this. Song that I know you love, Scott. I can't remember where you're at with this song, David. The Beatles classic, Hey Jude.
Yeah,
good Julian song. Lennon was just doing an interview with Bill Maher.
Oh, really?
Yes. Said it's a love-hate relationship with the song. Because the song was written for Julian by Paul McCartney.
Right.
And he said, you know, I've probably heard that song and heard renditions of it more than most people alive. He said, and then I've had friends send me videos of, as he said, babies in nappies singing it, which I don't really need. Because they think it's cute, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, one of the things he really doesn't like about the song is that it's, you know, a stark and dark reminder of actually what happened. You know, when John walked out on him and his mom.
Right.
It's very painful for him still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glad you could still enjoy it, though, Scott.
No, it doesn't bother me.
No, of course it doesn't.
My dad didn't walk out on me.
Why do you have that look on your face?
What is this?
What do you mean, what is it?
Is that Tesla?
No, that's John Bon Jovi and Jimmy Buffett with Paul McCartney. That was at the Hillary Clinton fundraiser
in
2016.
Not very good is what it is.
Jimmy Buffett's house.
That's terrible.
To which I say never forget.
Yeah.
Anyway, now it's time for Nimrod.
All
roll
right,
it out.
Jimmy.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dean.
It's Nimrod's in the News on the Martley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Oh, man, we're out of time. Nimrod's the news. Long story short, out of Louisiana, dude tried to fake his drowning, but he was wearing an ankle monitor.
Idiot.
Easy to find him. And that's Nimrod's in the news.